Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this week's segment of A Live Without Limits. Today's show is titled The Power of Giving. And the reason I chose The Power of Giving on this day, since it is the day before September 11th, the anniversary, which everyone kind of thinks about it and remembers where they were on that day. And the importance is to remember that we give out of our heart. And I've been seeing a lot of things like, how did 9/11 affect you? And what I want to start off by just saying is that it did not affect me personally, but I have a first cousin who lives in the vicinity of the Twin Towers. He had a condo that was right across the street from the second tower. And I remember when I heard what happened, my first thoughts were about Mitchell and how he was doing. And he got a hold of my family and they said he was in his parents' house. And I called them there and they called me back. Simply because I just wasn't sure where he was or what was going on at the time. My family knew, and they never told me what happened. And the reason I'm telling the story is because it kind of shows you how giving and being a giver is an important part of who you are if you're and having friends. And if you're not a giver, then you tend to be a taker and a user of people. And I did not find out till 2 years ago what actually did happen to my cousin, because in the interim, he had moved down to Florida. And when I was coming down here to buy a place, and it was holiday and he was over at my mother's for dinner, he told me what happened to him. And the first thing my sister says to me was, "Oh, did Mitch tell you what happened to him? Oh, don't believe him, because they got him on a boat and got him out of there." And what the truth is that she's jealous because of the settlement that he got from having been caught up in the middle of 9/11 and losing his apartment, his clothes, everything that was in there. The only reason he had clothes was because he had another set of clothes at his parents' place. He totally would have only had the clothes on his back to go with. So think about that, you know, that a lot of people that were caught up in it and lost everything got nice little settlements out of it. He was able to take that settlement and come down to Florida and buy himself a nice place and fix it up really nice and get himself a car to drive around here, because he did not have a car in New York. Because there was no need to have a car, because they have great transportation, whereas they don't in Florida. So the importance is to remember that we give out of our hearts because we want to give. We don't do things because it's an obligation. And in my family's eyes, if they do anything for you, it's because they're obligated to do it. And what happened is, and I think a lot of people don't realize this, that for a lot of people that were caught up in the middle of 9/11, for them it's a hard thing to go through when it's the anniversary, because it brings it all back to them. And in his case, he's had nightmares off and on all of the years, and it gets worse, and he gets depressed right a few weeks before and until a few weeks after. So for about a month, you know, it really hits him. And what happens is, since he lost everything, he had nightmares about it. And he happened to be visiting my mother because she's 92 years old. She's pretty much lost a lot of her eyesight and her hearing. She, you know, goes between, she gets up and she'll walk around the neighborhood or she'll go out, but she, you really, is at a point where she's just existing. She's not living a full life. And I see that as something that because of the lifestyle she lived and the jealousy that she had and the fact that she didn't know how to go out and enjoy her life when she could, that for her it's just an existence until her heart finally gives out. And my younger sister is the one that's in control of the finances, and how she treats her sisters is very much how she learned to treat them from the way her mother did. And she had decided, instead of asking me what were my needs and where should I be and where would it be beneficial for me, or if they buy this place, could I afford it to spend the money and take care of this place and do what I need to do and still have money to take care of, buy shoes or clothes or whatever. You know, so she did what she did because she wanted to do it and then left me with the expense of taking care of this place and not willing to go out of her way to do anything extra. And in the process, what has happened is that I've been stuck having to take care of a place and take care of all my basic needs at the same time. And in the process, have found that I had to let go of some of the bills. And since her name is on it, she needs to also pay for it and is refusing to. So, therefore, what has happened is that since I've had to let some of those bills get passed along and they've been refusing to help me, then they've been getting letters threatening eviction. So in the process, because of his own nightmares and his own fears due to what happened to him, he called me saying that he had a nightmare that I had been evicted and that I had gone back to Atlanta and I was homeless. Now, if that does happen with this place, I would not be homeless, because previously when I was in that situation, it was because I had no income coming in. And now that I'm on SSI, I do have an income coming in. So what I want to do now is go and talk about why this is, you know, why it's important for the power of giving. And I found it hard to believe I would receive money if I gave money. It just sounded like such a con, like a strategy promoted by people who wanted me to give money to them. Well, I was too smart for that. I decided that I would not give money, but that I would instead give books. That's right, books. I had plenty of books. Since I had worked as a New Age journalist and book reviewer for many years, I had collected a lot of books. I had more than I needed. Why not give some of them away? I still remember making the decision. I was lying in bed in Houston, where I lived at the time, reflecting on how to get prosperous. I remember thinking, I can become the richest man in America in terms of books. And right then and there, I decided to try out the giving principle on books. Within days, I had called a few friends over and let them pick out books. I didn't let them pick out any books or all my books, of course, but I pulled a few piles of books out and let my friends take what they wanted. Then over the course of the next few months, whenever I gave a talk someplace, I also gave out books. I found it a terrific way to hold attention. Whenever someone's attention seemed to wander, I announced a free book for the next person who asked me a question. Everyone in the room perked up. And when I moved into this country estate where I now live, I set about 25 boxes of books in the garage. I then threw a housewarming party and had people come over. I told them that before they left, they were encouraged to go through the boxes and take what they wanted. Everyone did. One person took so many books that he needed a dolly to wheel them to his car. What was the result of my grand book giving? Ever since the day in Houston when I decided to give books to receive books, I have always had an abundance of books. And today I own one of the largest book collections in the world on marketing and another on metaphysics. People see my collection whenever they are in awe. What they don't understand is this. Books will always come to me because I always give books. I was activating the great giving principle, but on books. Today I know to give money, to receive money, and as a result, I have money far more than I ever did when I lived in Houston. But in those early days when I feared losing money and wanted to hold on to all I had, all I could allow myself to give were books. As a result, books came. Listen and learn. Give what you want to receive. We must not try to fix the avenues through which our good is to come. There is no reason for thinking that what you give will come back through the one to whom you gave it. The great man who gave away $30 million. I just learned that a famous, colorful, and charming American philanthropist is dead. I had always loved his book, Ask for the Moon and Get It, The Secret to Getting What You Want by Knowing How to Ask. His name was Percy Ross. Maybe you heard of him. Ross gave away an estimated $30 million to various charities and organizations. He also wrote a syndicated newspaper column called Thanks a Million for approximately 800 nationwide newspapers for 17 years. The column contained letters from people writing Ross, telling him their story and asking for his help. It was fascinating. It was fascinating because Ross could always see through people. He could read their letters and sense if they were sincere or lazy or begging. And he always replied with words of wisdom. And sometimes with a check. He gave checks 120 times per week. And in 17 years, he gave away about $30 million. The thing is, Ross started with $2 million. Do you see the giving principle at work here? Ross began with $2 million as his source funds. You may not have that amount, but the story still holds true. In 17 years, Ross gave away $30 million. Again, giving leads to receiving. Consider, have you ever experienced a situation where you were asked to donate money to a particular cause and looking at your shrinking bank balance, you were torn between giving money or not? Many people have told me stories about being in the exact situation. But after deciding to go ahead and make a donation, these same people were very surprised when suddenly a sum of money came to them from some unexpected source to replace the money they just gave away. The truth is, if you hold on to your money, you risk losing the very thing you are hoarding. On the other hand, if you trust good things flow to those who give freely, you will always have funds available to suit your needs. To prove this, look at Percy Ross. He started his charitable ways with $2 million and yet over the course of 17 years donated some $30 million. I miss Percy Ross, and now you can take his place. What is true giving? Or do you have an equation mentality? I just got off the phone with my dear friend, Dr. Paul Hart. Tune in, publicity genius, philanthropist, and true lover of dogs. I asked Paul about giving and how he saw it working in his own life and with his own personal cause. That's what he told me. Something truly eye-opening. Too many people make an equation out of giving, he said. They give some money and then wait for it to come back to them tenfold. That, to me, is not true giving. This is this was a shocking statement to me. What is true giving then, I asked? I believe true giving is done anonymously, Paul explained. If someone gives $1 million to a foundation because they are going to have a building named after them, then that is trading, not giving. Paul was bringing up a valid point. I remember a time when someone emailed me asking what they should do if they try to give money to their friends and it's refused. I remember thinking, why do your friends have to know it's coming from you? Can't you give it in secret? Paul went on to tell me something even more fascinating. I think the secret to giving is in the caring. If it comes back to you or not, he explained, once you don't care, you're in the flow. Ah, yes, that's the secret. Give without expecting return. Give because your heart moves you to give. Give because it's your joy to give, and you're in the flow of life itself. All I can say is that maybe in the cosmos handles the rest, Paul told me. I've been blessed in my life, but I didn't give to be blessed. The cosmos just took care of me. I love how Paul Hartunian explained all of this to me. He gave such a particular level-headed view of giving. I have no problem with someone giving recognized for giving. He added, but if you give because you want recognition or you expect a tenfold return, then you're not giving, you're calculating. Paul walked his talk around Christmas of 2002. He sent me an email and asked if I had anything of spiritual nature he could give to the readers of his e-newsletter. He said he always gave them publicity and money-making advice, but he wanted to give them something spiritual. I suggested he let his fans read the ebook version of my number one bestseller, Spiritual Marketing. I told him anyone could read the e-version online. Paul let his readers know he was very generous to do so. After all, he didn't make a dime off my book and never would from this endorsement. He was simply giving. Now the punchline. Here is that Paul had, at that time, about 76,000 readers. That meant his gift and my gift, too, touched a lot of lives. Paul gave from his heart. I gave from my heart. How this will come back to us, no one knows, except maybe the cosmos. Are you giving? The law of prosperity, whose first action is giving, comes so close into the heart of being that we can scarcely expect to weigh and balance it by numbers and calculations. We must give without expectation of return. This was said by Ernest Wilson in The Great Physician. Show me the money. Am I the only one who really saw the movie Jerry Maguire, that hit movie starring Tom Cruise, had everyone repeating the famous line, show me the money. I didn't watch the movie for nearly 1 year after it was released because I thought it was all about greed. Since everyone who saw the movie smiled and repeated that one line, show me the money, as if it were some sort of national mantra, I wasn't interested. But then one day, Narissa and I wanted to watch something on television. As luck would have it, Jerry Maguire was coming on the tube right about then, so we settled in to watch it. I was amazed. The movie wasn't about greed at all. Yes, Jerry came from a money-hungry place, but he soon learned that that mindset wasn't going to work. Greed was out. Greed was a dead-end street. Greed led to the poverty of spirit. Instead, Jerry, the sports agent, learns about the power of passion. When he truly starts to care about his client, to look for and activate the heart in the one player he represents, who does the same for him. Then and only then does he start to taste real success and start to experience real happiness. Oh, there's no doubt the refrain, show me the money, is a catchy one. It's done so well in the movie and said so often and delivered with such upbeat emotion in the one unforgettable scene that you can't help but remember it. But that's not what the movie is about, not to me. The movie is about show me your heart, not to show me your money. Giving is that. If you give because you want money, you are not giving but simply trading. If you give because your heart thinks to do so, then you are truly giving. It's the difference between show me the money and show me your heart. The universe responds to your heart, not your money. The money is just a symbol. Give money from your heart. When you do, very quickly, in the same surprising way, the universe itself will then show you the money. But don't give to get. Don't give us a negotiation with the universe. Give to give. And that is an important thing that we need to remember. Because when you give from your heart, you're giving from a true, loving place. And too often, people give because they're looking for something in return. That is why I told the story of my sister and how whenever she goes to the mechanic, she will bring them something only because she wants to make sure that they are going to do something for her, and they're going to put her car a priority when she gets in. My sister has a friend who's a dentist, and they've been friends since college. This woman is her dentist, and she would babysit for her daughter when her daughter was a baby because she was looking for something in return. During the holidays, on Passover, she will make a flourless cake to take over to them for Passover dinner. She's doing this because she's looking for something in return. Whenever she goes to the dentist's office, she will bring them a fruit cup because she's doing something because she wants something in return. For instance, when my tooth broke and my mother was in town, I called to say I needed to go to the dentist. So they called her friend and they made an appointment for me. Then I didn't go back because I knew that I needed a lot of work that needed to be done. And I did not have the dental coverage to cover it. And I didn't have the money coming in at the time to pay for it myself. So what happened is we got together and she goes, well, why haven't you been back to the dentist? Go call her and make an appointment. Well, when I went to the dentist, she started doing all of this work, and my sister was like, she couldn't believe it. She was shocked. So she gave her $1,000, and that was all she gave her for the dental work. Then her friend had to send her a letter telling her all of the work that was being done and how much it was costing, and then said to her, have your mother pay half of the money, knowing that they could do that, and she controls the money, she writes the check. She knew that what was going on, but she was, and it was like she was going to hold it over a threat over my head that if I didn't act a certain way or I didn't do something, she wasn't going to pay for it. I mean, that's not true giving. That's not giving out of your heart. So look within yourself and see what are you doing that can truly mean that you're a giver or a taker. Because takers are people who are going to use someone. Yeah, they'll pay you something, but they're going to do it not out of the goodness of their heart, but they're going to do it grudgingly. And you don't want to do things grudgingly. You want to do them in a way that shows that you truly care. That's why we're talking about giving. And remember, and I'm going to finish up with this, because when you look back at September 11th and all, you know, and what happened was you started seeing a lot of things on TV where they were raising money for the people who lost their lives in the accident of September 11th. It was the firefighters, the people who were in the building, having meetings, the people that worked in the building. And then how many times have you, and I remember even someone who worked in the building that, he worked in a corporation, and he was not truly sure whether or not that's where he should be. And so, in essence, that he looked at what happened at September 11th as a wake-up call for him, because he missed, in fact, what happened was because his child was a baby at the time and decided to stay home and have breakfast with his daughter rather than seeing her going, instead of going to work while she was asleep and then coming home after she was in bed, he wanted to spend time with his family. So by going in an hour and a half later, he was still in on the Conrail coming into New York to work, and so that he was not actually in the building when the plane left. And that's why he uses the synonym wake-up call, because that was a wake-up call to him. And what did he do then? He then left corporate America and basically started his own business. And that also leads us into where we are today in the job market and the fact that we have a president that is talking about how he wants to create jobs, he wants to give money to states so they can continue to pay the salaries for teachers, and he can stay, and the policemen and the firemen. But at the same time, what is happening is that he's not talking about raising taxes. The country does not have the money in their coffers. They've been using money out of Social Security to prop up the other programs, and so there's almost nothing left. And that's the money in Social Security people paid into when they work, so they would have an income when they couldn't work or when they got up there in age. So we need to look at, are we truly a country of givers or a country of users? And how can we change the things we do to be a better people and learn to give out of who we truly are? And since we're down to the last couple of minutes, what I would also like to do is remind you that you can go to my website, and that website is onepersonalcareercoach.com, because first of all, I have assessments that can help you understand what is your natural behavioral style when you communicate, and how does the experiences you had in your personal life as a child growing up and the things that you saw your parents do and how that affected who you are today. And, you know, when you see your parents giving, then you understand the importance of giving. If you see your parents being hoarders and talking about how they're poor and they can't do this and they can't do that, then that's what you learn. And we don't realize just how important that is to who we are as adults today and how that influences our lives. It makes us who we are in the lifestyle that we have. So remember, you can go to my website, and that website is the number one personalcareercoach.com. And remember, this is the slogan that I have used many times over: success is my only option. The final thing that I want to say is I want you to put your hand on your heart, stand up in place, turn around in a circle, and sit down. And remember, I touched your heart, I turned you around, and I stood you up.
thank you for participating.